My name is Mitzi, and I'm an addict. Before I do this, he gave me the statement to read, and I might have a little difficulty because I have on contacts so I can drive without being arrested or having an accident. But I didn't think I was going to have to read anything while I was down here, so I don't have reading glasses. And this is a speaker statement. It says that the NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there's not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there's a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic texts, for instance, remind us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it's like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Like I said, my name is Mitzi, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Mitzi.
Thank God. Just thank God. Can't do the list because the list is too long. And I want to thank this committee for giving me the opportunity to explain to you how God has worked in my life through Narcotics Anonymous. So I don't even have to tell you that I use drugs and things that you don't need no war stories. And because I'm not here to entertain you, I'm here to expose myself to a lot of people that don't know the story. So what we're going to do is we're going to cut through the chase. We're going to bypass the open-air markets. We're going to bypass the mental institutions. We're going to bypass the methadone clinics. And we're going to go to 1989 when I arrived at Second Genesis, 38 years old, a number of spots in my face that were self-inflicted wounds as a result of trying to pick away the dirt that the cocaine made me think that I saw. I weighed about 89 pounds. I was pretty much dark as that picture. And I was running through the treatment center like a road runner. They had a rule for me and for me only. I could have absolutely no coffee. I could have as much cranberry juice as I wanted. And when I went through doors, I had to make a noise before I opened the door. And the noise was beep, beep. When I got there, my mother was somewhere around 61, 62, and she was still taking care of me. And by the time I got out and got into Second Genesis, I was real willing. You know, when you first come in with fresh pain, you're willing to do anything. So let's fast forward 7 months in. 15 pounds heavier, cocoa butter and perm, and plenty of cranberry juice, but still not quite enough. And they started to give me some instructions on how to live. You know, they was trying to tell me how to handle my daughter. And I was 38, the oldest counselor was 32, and I wasn't having it. I didn't need that kind of help. That's not what I came here for. And anyway, I did what I always do when it get uncomfortable, was I ran. I left. I left the treatment center. I didn't stay. So I got across town, and anyway, I got me a little beer. I was thirsty. I wasn't going through nothing because I was glad to be out of that house with all them people in there. And I called a guy that had taken me to my first after-hour joint when I was about 16 years old. Took me uptown to crap joint. And I don't gamble. I just like the atmosphere. You know, big ballers in there on the table, gambling. Ain't none of the money mine. You know, I just like being in the atmosphere. So he told me it was real simple, not to sweat it. It's real simple. Just go to these meetings and chase recovery the same way you chase drugs. That's what I did. I was in so many places. People were asking me to sponsor them. I didn't have a year. They was asking me to do a whole lot of things. They thought I had been there for a long time because I was just showing up everywhere. No car either. You know, and I was just so happy to be clean that I had made a conscious decision not to go along with the rest of the program. I was not telling anybody my business. I did not need to check in with people. I was just looking for a new hangout spot. Because the one over on 52nd and B was a dope corner. Matter of fact, the building I lived in was a dope building. So what I did was I proceeded to conduct my life the way I always had. You know, I did my hair, my nails, got some jewelry and some outfits. And I just pretty much did what I wanted to do. And I talked a whole lot about knowing God, but I was really running my own life. And I had a sponsor that a guy had given me, but I went to the little meeting she had, but I wasn't telling her a whole lot. And so what I do is now, I appear on first appearance. If you watch me, just watch me walk through the hall, because I know how to walk, and I'm going to walk like I got it going on, and I know what's happening. I'm color coordinated. I got the right barber. I went to the right jewelry store, and I know how to catch a sale, so I'm always going to look presentable, but I don't know what to do. So when it comes to, and you know, and guys will holler at me, but I don't know how to be in relationships. I know how to play games. I know if I tell you how I feel, you might take advantage of me, so we're going to play like I don't even like you. You know, we're going to play like I don't even want you. The object of the game is to make you want me. And after we get past that, I'm lost. I'm lost. So what I do is I come in Narcotics Anonymous and I do what I do. I set up and I pick up. But because I ain't picking up 10 and I'm just picking up 1, I think it's okay. Well, I am here to report that it does not take 10 to feel like a whore. 1 is sufficient. 1 is sufficient, okay? And also, it's not even necessary that you stand on a corner. The sanctity of your home will do. It will do. So, and you don't particularly have to look a certain way because whatever you lacking, I can help you fix it. I told you I'm a color coordinating queen. So that's not necessary. You really don't have to read or write because I will read and write for you if it's necessary. So what happened was I hooked up with a guy that, and just for the record, me and him friends today, you know, and we hooked up and he thought it was his idea. And when I got around to trying to bring him around to my way of thinking, he kept doing what he do. And what he do is he needs more than one. When you don't know how to treat one, it is to your benefit to have several. So when one won't do, the other one will. So he wasn't going along with the program. Now, I was not openly in this relationship with this person. What we would do is I would go around the corner that way. He would go around the corner the other way. I would get in the car, we'd pull off real fast and ride to Maryland. Then when we come back to the meeting the next day, I don't look at him, he don't look at me, and we don't speak. Talking about feeling cheap. Not only did you leave in the middle of the night, you ain't even speaking to me. But I'm playing like it's okay. But it ain't okay. It ain't okay. I don't care who you are, where you come from, or what you do. Everybody that walks God's earth wants to be loved and accepted by at least one person. One person. So if you pretend that you only want to get your rocks off, you are not only, you ain't deceiving me. Because the pain shows on your face. And I'm telling you, this is why I don't keep no more secrets. I haven't kept a secret since I was 9 years clean, and I'm 17 years clean. The hardest thing in the world to do is to pretend that you're somebody that you ain't. When I was pretending that I wasn't a crackhead, everybody in the tri-state area knew it, but wasn't nobody saying nothing. When I was pretending not to be a hoe, everybody in the meetings in the tri-state area knew it, but wasn't nobody saying nothing to me. They were discussing it among themselves, but not to me. And then I wonder why I can't walk around without the guilt and the shame showing on my face. I don't care what I put on, how much money I had in my pocket, what my zip code was, what my job was, the guilt and the shame would shine through. Believe me, it does. And let me tell you how I know. Because when the guy came to the picnic with the other girl that he was doing that wasn't in the picnic, the whole picnic turned around and looked at me. And being that I am who I am, they thought it was Saturday Night Live. But me being the actress that I am, I couldn't play it out like that. So I had to sit there just a little while longer so I could walk off gracefully and try to pretend that I had an ounce of dignity. And I got home and I broke down like a sawed-off shotgun. I couldn't sleep. I mean, I was just totally floored. Now, common sense would tell you, no, a guy called me to fellowship, and I don't know if he was at the picnic or somebody called him and told him what would happen or what, but the guy called me the next morning. See, I had to pray that night to get to sleep. God, please just let me get to sleep. My eyes was little slits. You know, I had cried so much. So, because the guy, you know what he did? He called me and tried to explain it to me how it wasn't his fault. Or she made him bring her. But you told me you didn't know her. You know, we ain't going to argue this point. But you know, you got a whole lot of nerve calling me trying to explain to me how this ain't your fault. Now, I'm slow, but I ain't that slow. So, anyway, a guy called me the next morning. And he said, until you let go of your reservations, your sobriety, and that's because he go to other places, but I can't change what he said. What he said is what he said. He said it's precarious, and that means it's on shaky ground. Scared me to death. My reservation was I was not going to tell nobody my business, and who I was sleeping with was none of their business. But I didn't want to use. I was too old. So I got in the phone book, and I tried to undercover recover. Yep, that's what I did, undercover recover. You call anybody that ain't in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous and try to get some help on the side. I struggled with their undercover stuff for 7 more years. I would like to tell you that I went to the therapist, and the next year or so, I was out of it. Nope, wasn't like that. I was still going into meetings, and I was still talking about everything. People thought I was relatively honest, but I was refusing to tell them the very thing that was causing me the biggest struggle and the most pain. So what happened was me and the guy, we started to struggle, and, you know, and I tried to get out, and I used somebody else to get out, but, you know, and whatever. And one day I just couldn't take it no more, you know, and I went into women's rap, and I told them that I was in this abusive kind of thing, and da-da-da-da. But before I got there, I did come in there ranting and raving. First, so, you know, he hit me. But what I had said to him kind of like deserved, you know, a little smack. But then I don't believe that there's no reason in the world for a woman to hit a man. I don't think there's no reason in the world for another human being to hit another grown human being for no reason, you know. But we weren't not going to get into that graphic thing that I said, because I don't have to impress you that I'm a vicious person when I'm in pain. Just some stuff you just take for granted. So anyway, and I'm not here to, you know, to like to downgrade or belittle any other person in telling you my story. I'm just trying to tell you how I stopped keeping secrets. When I went into women's rap and told them women the truth, man, them went, five women swarmed around me like bees and carried me through something in 6 months that I couldn't get out of in 7 years. The program works. You can't tell me spit. The program works. Now, out of them five women, one of them is still in my life today on a regular daily basis. The rest of them, they're not my enemy. It's like people pass through your life for a reason and a season, and then they go head on. God used whoever. You don't know who he going to use, so you better be careful who you turn your nose up at, because what they say, the one you had said kiss, the, you know, kick the day, you might have to kiss it tomorrow. But anyway, when I got out of that, man, the freedom from not having to smile when you don't feel like smiling, pretending you all right when you ain't all right, pretending something that you is that you, people know. People know. So you ain't even doing, when you free yourself like that, you ain't freeing yourself for me. You're freeing yourself for you. Today, I can go on a meeting and tell anybody anything at any time, because I really don't care what you say. I'm in here to save my life. And I know as long as I kept secrets, I perpetuated the illness. I did. It was not anybody's fault but mine. The sickness is trying to live a lie. There is freedom in the truth. There's freedom in the truth. I'm free today. It's nothing that you can say to hurt me. I know me. And I make sure you know me too. You know, people know what not to say and what to say to me. I make it real clear. I don't pretend things okay when they not. I'm not going to let somebody stand up for half an hour standing on my toe and say I'm okay. Get up off my foot. You know, but the biggest thing is, look, the other, last night, you know, my girlfriend came here with me, and I really didn't tell her what I had to share about, and we was talking about the secrets, you know, and how difficult it is. You ever tried to like, pretend you like somebody you don't like? You can make a smile for a minute, but it's going to be very shortly they're going to say something that's going to irritate you. You're going to say something ugly, and then people are going to be saying, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? Oh, I'll try to pretend I don't like people. Somebody messed around and sent me an email the other day. So why you don't talk no more? Why in the world? And it was so... I was so uncomfortable, but I had to tell the truth, because I couldn't say, well, you know, I've been busy with school, and, you know, I've been doing this and doing that, you know, I mean, I had to come straight. I don't have to tell you what I told the person, but all of these things had to do with their character and who they are. I don't have to do that today. I don't have to pretend that I like nobody. I don't have to pretend that I'm not nobody, but that first freedom started with me admitting that I didn't know how to be in relationships, and I had been propositioning, trying to get somebody to love me with my body. And the news is, no, it ain't news. Everybody know it, but don't nobody like to say it. They'll take the body because people just don't say no when you put yourself on a platter like that. And they'll take it, and then you still don't get your needs met. So I figure I may as well keep it. I ain't get my needs met either way. And if I choose to give it away, I give it away on my terms if I want to. But we're going to make it real clear what we're doing here. Real clear what we're doing here. And I got one rule that I am not going to be able to forgive you for, and that's if you're dishonest with me. Those things, it said there are three things that are indispensable. Now, I would like to think that the people who took time to write the literature, that they put certain things in certain order for a reason. You can't be open-minded and willing if you're dishonest. Honesty got to come first. And the honesty ain't about you telling me your business. The honesty is about you being honest with yourself. You know, I thought that somebody was doing something to me all my life, and I gave everybody every permission to do everything that they ever did to me. Everybody. And I need to get honest with that, because if I don't get honest with that, there is no hope for me to do better. That's the kicker. You cannot be in the solution if you're not being honest about what the problem is. I know I can't. Now, it's hard for me to fix a headache if I keep running to the podiatrist. And that's what it is about being dishonest. You're working, you either got to be in the solution or you're going to get soaked up in the problem. And that has been my experience. I didn't find it in those words in the book, but they told me that when I do all this stuff, I got to learn how to apply that to my life. And that's been my experience. I don't have a whole lot of other stuff to tell you. And this stuff happened way back when I was 2 years clean. From 2 years to 10 years. That's how long I struggled with it. Just for keeping a secret. Just for living a lie. You know, so I didn't really get no freedom. Not get it. Started to get it. Till I got 10 years clean. That's a daggone shame. I wasted all that gas riding around town to meetings, all them outfits. I mean, because before I was willing to tell the truth, I was wearing them all out. I filed bankruptcy. I was in a mental institution. I have a whole lot of all of this from living a lie. All I can tell you is you can have as much or as little that this program has to offer that you want. The ball is in your court. Because that pain you go home with, I will not feel it. That's like you eating a meal waiting for me to get fat. You know? So, anyway, the program is working for me. You know, it's working for me. And again, I want to thank the committee or whoever asked me. I just want to thank you because, you know, sometimes I live so large. And I don't mean, I ain't got no money. Let's get this real clear. I ain't got no money. You know, I'm still broke. What I'm talking about is this freedom that I got on the inside. Sometimes I live so large. I need to hear my story to remind me of how good this program is. Has been to me, you know, and for that reason only, wherever I go, if you ask me to speak, you're going to get the truth. And they ain't got nothing to do with you, ain't got nothing to do with me. It's only between me and God. I cannot to pretend that whatever it is that I got now, that I got it of my own volition. That's a big mistake. I can't pretend that I got it of my own volition. My debt to God for his the freedom he has extended to me is to make you fully aware how I got it. Okay? So work the program. You know, you've been here long enough. If you don't know what it is, you should have a sponsor. They'll tell you. Ain't no use me telling you about going to meetings and praying and all that kind of crap. What you need to do, you want to know how I live then and how I live now. And that's what I told you. And I could have wasted a whole lot of time giving you the little spiel, the little cliches and all that kind of stuff. But the gist of the matter is, living without secrets is the key to freedom. Okay? And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing. I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Tim from Ohio.
They asked me to read some speaker's statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting need to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery. Which are the 12 steps in the 12 tradition. In an area where there is not an abundance of NA members with the sustained clean time or experience with the 12 steps in the 12 tradition, there's a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA tradition and invite speakers from outside NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, remind us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive a long distance to support new groups. The speaker helped fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at the NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. First, I want to thank God. Thank God for this moment here and for watching those me and my brothers riding 11 miles from Ohio. I'm adding that Tim B. And I want to thank Ocean City committee for inviting us down here. This is my third year straight down here, and I met Eric a couple years ago, and he been telling me about it, and it's one of the things I put on my map every year to come down here. And like the sister was saying, I just read it. I'm a dope fiend, bottom line. So I ain't here because if you ain't here, you're a dope fiend. You raise your hand in the circle 3-4 days a week, you're a dope fiend. So bottom line, go through all that, what I do, all look, man. Go through all of that because this is what I believe in. My story ain't going to keep you clean. You got to be truthful about your story. If you forget your story, you're going to use. So I can share with you all about the abandoned business in the hall, all that stuff. And you say, well, he was good, until you share your abandoned building story. Because I hear people share all the time, and I still use dope. I did 3 treatment centers. Use dope going to a meeting, use dope after the meeting, use dope cutting dope on top of the basic text, and all that. Done all that. Got that paper signed, and I never once relapsed. Because I believe in the literature. I believe in all the relapses got to have recovery. And treatment is not recovery. I know that's real debatable, but treatment is not recovery. And getting a meeting signed to save your job or keep you off probation is not recovery. Because I never prayed in my heart to God to help me stay clean. I never prayed. I never changed nothing, never changed no ideas, never done none of that stuff. So how can I? So I don't have to relapse in my story. But anyway, and I bring my literature because one of the secrets the young lady was sharing, originally from North Carolina, born and raised in North Carolina. So a lot of y'all from D.C. might know about Goldsboro, North Carolina, a little small town. That's where I'm from. My grandmama raised me, and they referred to me as Cincinnati grandmama's boy because I'm a big old mama's boy. And the secret piece of, I came out of high school reading the 7th grade school level. And like the young lady was saying, trying to save faces. I ain't going to say certain things in the meetings and all that. And I was too embarrassed to share with people that I read the basic text, but I don't understand what I read. So I believe in this. I don't believe in just telling people to read, because you just tell them to read, help them understand what they just read. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to tell people, just go read. I don't tell nobody how to recover. I show them. I don't throw the literature at people all the time, and cliches and all that. I don't have no secret. I tell everything. So I had a hard time with this topic because I don't have no secret. Because I tell everything. If it feel good, I'm telling somebody. Look, if I sleep with somebody going to know. I'm going to tell it. Ain't no need for me to go through all that melodrama. Look, this between me and you. We going to do this thing. Don't you tell nobody. I ain't going to tell nobody. Bullshit. I'm sorry. Look. They say we don't entertain. I entertain when I share. I like to have fun. I think it's okay to entertain. I think a new member might not understand what I'm saying, but he might understand me laughing. Mm. He just might hold on to that man. He said a whole lot of crazy stuff. He just might hold on to that to keep him coming. So I believe it's okay to entertain. It's okay to have fun and joke. I ain't going to go through all this literature. I went back to school, worked on my reading, writing, clean. When you got trained in the job field that I work in, and the secret thing, I remember, and some guys down here, and it's funny, you playing trips, and you go out of town, we all were laughing, joke. You got five guys in a room. You be like, well, who holding on to a secret? Can I sleep in the same room with this brother? Maybe brother ain't came out with something he ain't shared yet. And I don't want to find out in the middle of the night. Yeah, I'm here, man, and I'm gonna tell you the truth. One secret I got today, I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul for this trip. I ain't got the money for this trip. I spent $1,000 last week on my car. My car went down, I spent $1,000 on that, and I'm here robbing Peter to pay Paul. If you said I ain't recovered, hey, I'm okay with it. Paying the bill late don't bother me. Some of y'all real recovery, paying the bill late, mess up y'all can't act right. Me paying somebody late don't bother me at all. I don't lose no sleep. Because I understand paying bills make you responsible, don't make you manageable. Because a lot of times people got manageability and responsibility confused. I'm managing my feelings today. We want to know about your feelings. And one secret, I was reading, I don't have no reservation, so I read myself. They said reservation would rob you of the benefit of this program. And I done slept with other mans, all them dark secrets. We said we ain't going to tell them about the other man thing, touching my little sister growing up and all of that. I tell everybody everything, so I don't know what to tell y'all today about no secret, but I know one that kept me while I'm in the state I'm in today. Not with my wife, because when I got married, I was going to have this perfect marriage, the perfect image, and I didn't tell the difficulties in my marriage. So when all hell broke loose, that's why I'm at, because I couldn't tell no one that I allowed my wife to physically and verbally abuse me. They talk about the literature that we're going to get to apply this principle in all your affairs. I've been around 11 years, November 8, 94, and I heard everybody share about relationships and all that. So when I said in my head, in this image in my head, that when I get married, that everything going to be perfect. I told my, long before I got married, I said, mine's going to be perfect. So the secret part, I didn't even tell my sponsor about the difficulties in my relationship. I didn't tell no one. I was too embarrassed. How you tell another man that you allow your wife to physically and verbally abuse you when you 6'5", over 250 pounds? How do you tell somebody that? Because of my judgmental, Melvin, and my egotistic. When I heard people share in the meetings about their shortcoming, other brothers, I judged them. Because I'm a very judgmental guy. I'm from the street corner. I'm very physical. I'm more physical than I'm spiritually. I'm by the same street code rule. You're supposed to man up. You're supposed to handle your business. So when people were sharing their problems and their struggles and their recovery, I never really listened to people. Because you're supposed to be able to handle that. Man, you can't handle your woman. What's wrong with you, Jack? You can't handle your home. I'm from a country boy. You put a man handle his. I was told all my life a man handle his business. So, but I wanna be married more than anything. And people, the fantasies and all disillusion, the secrets, man, trying to make everything whole in your life and getting clean and doing everything, doing the right thing, the schooling and all, getting there, putting all the pieces in place. And then your life blows up, because I always share now, when I say I want to thank God for this moment, because I understand and know, right here, you can be in a moment right here, and something can happen in your life and change your life forever. One moment, you can be right here. Everything is fine. One phone call, you ain't going to use no dope, but your life will never be the same again after that phone call. And that's when you can't share this. That's when sharing don't come in play. And it don't matter who your sponsor is, how big your net worth is. All that don't, when that moment come, all that don't mean nothing. But I done been all over. I've been doing this. I share a lot, speak to a lot of men, main speakers. I done freed the meeting. Everybody want to thank me for sharing. I helped them so much. Thank you, Tim. You so honest. But I'm still locked up and low. I'm still in jail, Eric. But everybody free from my sharing. And I'm still fucked up. Look, man. I'm just talking about anybody understand what I'm talking about that speaks a lot, that shares a lot. People in the meeting, you sit in the meeting, you don't want to share. And everybody looking at you in the meeting, say something. Drop it. And you like, you just raise your hand, you go to the 15 minute off your head. Yeah, you know, I got a little sandwich to throw you real quick to feed everybody with. I can throw it out for a 15 minute spill I do every meeting. and riding home like, well, if everybody's free, and why I'm still messed up. Yeah, but the secret, though, that they're keeping me locked up is that for real, that I learned that I never listened, for real, what I heard the older members say, I never paid attention to the word hard won. They said, be sure our strength and hope. I never paid the word hard won no man. And this is what I've been learning, that, Tim, you're going to have to go through something. You personally have to go through something that you can't even imagine. That's how you gain experience. And I share with people, and I'm learning this. Yeah, you know, your spine all that good and all that, but what is your hard-won experience? Can I tell you that this program works? How can I really tell you this works? Because sometimes you can go through some stuff that you can't call nobody on. And the belief and the faith that I said I had, when my turn came, it shook my whole spiritual relationship with God. That I started going to my knees. Yeah, I ain't using no dope, but I stopped believing in the tricking and the more than one woman, all that, and the claw, all that starts back. That's amazing. You know what? Hitting the spiritual bottom clean is a mother. Now, I can explain, you know, when something happened, we've been taught this. When something happened in your recovery, you're supposed to do the 6 step, you're supposed to do all the steps, to find out what defect that caused the problem. We've been trained that. Do the step, find out what the problem is. But what happens when a defect don't have nothing to do with it? It's just God will. When a defect that is not the cause of the problem. And what I'm trying to tell you, my wife lost 2 babies back to back. Less than a year and a half. Made the 5 months pregnant, back to back. I watched her deliver 2 dead babies. And it shook my whole belief in God. And I still showed up, H&I, I still showed up and everything. And then people trying to explain to you God will. People trying to explain, and I understand what we do this because we love people, we love our friends and brothers and sisters. We don't want to see nobody struggle, nobody be hurting. And this is what I learned the hard way, even for myself. Sometimes when people go through stuff, don't say nothing to them. If you don't know what it is to see your wife scream and holler all night watching her deliver a dead baby, don't talk to me. Don't tell me shit about adoption. You know what I'm saying? When I say I don't want to adopt shit, man. I want my own big head son like your own big head son destroying the meetings. What? I don't want to. If you don't know what it is, if you don't know what it is to watch your wife lose her mind, and there's nothing you can do, and you ain't committed to her even before this situation happened, y'all don't have that bond and that and that thing that you're doing even before this happened, you can't talk to me. Because I didn't have it before this happened. Then I learned this. Sometimes the steps tell you it's over. People always holler at me, work the step. Be patient, be tolerant, be unconditioned. Sometimes I had learned the steps said, Tim, you ain't supposed to get married in the first place. So it's no time for no steps now. If you ain't supposed to be there in the first place, steps can't correct this. Yeah. So just because I end something don't mean that I didn't work the steps. Because I'm not staying married for the fellowship. Y'all kill me. You have to stay married for the fellowship. Y'all give us hope. We need hope. Why you want to see two unhappy people? That's giving you hope. I'm walking in the meeting. Yeah, we dressed the light and looking good and looking all cute in a couple. But back at the ranch. When y'all ain't there, back at the ranch. Her sponsor ain't there. My sponsor ain't there. My boy ain't there. The TVs and the electronics, all that stuff ain't helping. All the toys, all that shit. And the schooling and the bank account, all that don't mean nothing. Just left prayer service, prayed together, all that don't mean nothing. Now I'm leaping across the table, and the young lady says something, and I'm not making no excuse of this, but sometimes women, y'all just say some stuff to some brothers. I'm like, let it go, baby. I'm biting. Let it go, baby. Please be quiet, baby. You're right. I'm sorry. I ain't no good. You're right. I ain't no good. You're right. I'm a no good nigga. Now you say, I'm happy I said it. You're right. And she kept on talking. Damn, man. I ain't trying to take it. Look, even when we say y'all right, you're right, baby. You're right. You are 100% correct. You're right. Everybody think you all this. You be sharing people. Everybody think you all that. Baby, you're right. I ain't no good. You right. I'm a no good like you said. And she kept on talking. But the thing was, at the end, the secret, I never told no one, the immaturity part of me did not tell a woman that hurt me that she hurt me. I was immature. I did not tell a person that she hurt me. So for some years, I let all that stuff stay on top of me, and at the end, I exploded, and I choked my wife. Head against the wall before I knew it, choking her. Now people say, that's not recovery, Tim. I said, it's recovery because I let her go. You might say I ain't recovering. I said I'm recovering because I let her go. And I ain't want to let her go. So, my sponsor told me, Tim, you always got to find something, even in the same. You got to find something to hold on to. Because if you don't find something to hold on to, you ain't going to make it. I don't care what everybody's saying. Everybody got their opinions and all that. Everybody got the juries out about me. Oh, that's a he and I see. He ain't see. He thought he was all that. All that don't even matter. What y'all think? And this ain't nothing to do with but my wife. She's a beautiful young lady. One of the best things God ever created. I'm not bad-mouthing marriage. Ain't nothing sweeter than a marriage. I love relationship. I would never say nothing bad about relationship. I ain't one of them side person, bad mouth of relationship. Boy, you better get you one. Ain't nothing like a woman. I ain't one of them brothers. I ain't praying not to be with one. I love women. I ain't trying to go without one. I ain't that spiritual that I'm okay being by myself. Bullshit. Let that be known. I don't like being by myself. I ain't that spiritually that I'm a man. I'm okay. And that's a lie. Leaving the meeting, going to function, everybody going home by yourself, reality hits you. When I walk into that little two-room apartment by myself, I get instant depressed. And I got 11 years clean. Done worked the script and quote scripts. A lot of times I know after this meeting, a lot of times I share a lot about my life's experience. People want to come to me one-on-one, even quote scriptures to me. Y'all need to know I attend places of worship too. And I understand I read everything. But this is what it is right now today. So don't be running me back to no scriptures. Where's God? I don't want to hear none of that. Have you ever been married? How you doing in yours? Did yours punch you? Did yours bleach all your clothes? Like mine did. Bleach my 7 buttons. Melvin, my 4 suits, 7 button piece. Nasty. Bleach stereo like, can share that. You got that experience, nigga, keep walking. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Cause and the secret is that I'm trying to share real quick. I never for real, prayed to God to get married in the first place. That's what I've been learning. Yeah, see all the crowd. I meet the crowd. I'm good. See me all that stuff, earth stuff, school and all that, banker. Oh, that's cool. But did I ask God? Is it your will? Yeah, I talked to my sponsor. I talked to y'all about it. I ain't talked to God, though. Sponsor gonna say what everybody say. We wish you the best. Everybody lying. Anytime you tell somebody you're getting married, oh, we wish you the best. Oh, God, that's good. We quick to give about it. Yeah, go ahead. I'll be there. And I learned this, man, 11 years later. This is what I'm learning. Because I'm real spoiled in my recovery to a certain degree that everything pretty much going my way since I've been clean. I've been doing the work, doing all this. But for the first time, something went wrong. Because I never prayed to God to ask him whether his will. Even with the baby situation. Yeah, she got pregnant. But I never prayed to be okay with God's will if it go against my will. What I'm trying to say. I always pray, God, let your will be done. Because my self-centered always told me it's going to go the way I wanted it to go. So, and I never did the whole prayer. So I never understood how the old people had the old time faith. I'm not going to go, no, I'm going to stay right here in there. But I never understood how my grandmama always still believed in spite of everything. I don't understand. I said, well, Mom, I don't understand. How can y'all keep doing it? And I'm not trying to make a racist thing out of this, but white folks keep doing this to y'all. How did y'all keep going, Tim? She said, baby, it was what it was. What I'm learning now is, she said, Tim, you can read all them books. You can do all that, Tim. She said, Tim, it is what it is. She lost the baby. It is what it is. She said, sometimes God ain't going to reveal you why he let things happen. You can keep praying to asking why, God, why? God don't want you to know. She said, what about that one? It is what it is. You can be mad. You can do all that. And you can pray. You can meditate. You can do all that to him. He might never reveal to you. It is what it is. And it made sense to me. I'm not okay with it. But it made sense to me. Baby, you got to keep going. And the thing where I'm at today is to be okay with maybe, just maybe, in my life, it ain't meant to be wife and kids. And don't tell me, don't come here, boy, it ain't your time, ain't your season. What I'm saying is, y'all, I'm trying to be okay with it. It might not never be my time.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get with. I'm not trying to have no hope and faith that it might happen one day. I'm trying to be okay with it might never happen for me. That's what I'm trying to work with right now. That's what I'm trying to work with right now. I can go find somebody to have with me. But I'm trying to work with it might not be my journey. That's what I'm trying to work with right now. Bottom line. It's just not been. And why, I don't know. So, man, so I don't and secrets, I don't know if I got that. I tell you everything. This, one secret, maybe, I don't know. In the 3 years, been going through this past 3 years, I done lost my mind. Going to script clubs, trying to fill the void through everything. I've been locked and loaded on porno tapes, and you can buy good. I'm gonna say this, and I know this. It might be bad to say, but you can buy good porno at meetings. I shouldn't say that on tape. But look, okay, boy, my boys go pop them trunks. Boy, that's one most pretty truck I ever seen in my life. What I'm trying to say is, man, trying to fill that void, not with God. And the worst thing is, man, I'm talking to people that got time. The worst thing is, man, about this journey is knowing the solution and not doing it. Ain't about calling sponsor. Ain't about calling ad. Ain't about calling people. It's about doing what I'm supposed to do. I know once God frees you and some other things, and you know he'll do what he can do, and not trying him again.
Crazy.
I ain't talking about no higher power. I'm talking about God. I've been clean too long to have a higher power. I'm talking about God. You can get mad all you want. But when your ass on fire, it better be God. You better be confused by no higher power. He won't be called by his name when your butt on fire. I know I ain't gonna people say I'm breaking tradition and all that. Look. You can't be, real quick, the message is, but when life hits, you can't be confused about God. So you still in the dilemma about should I? Your dog died, your little kid. That's why I don't trust God, because all you sticking all about that. But remember that night, you said, God, let the dope be real. God, touch the judge's heart. God, don't let the old lady put me out. God, now all of a sudden, I always share this. You cannot use dope and don't believe in God. We talk about more about God when we use it. And then all of a sudden when we get clean, we don't want to hear his name. All of a sudden we want to call him everything but God. I don't understand that one, man. I do not understand. You cannot use dope and don't say God. But you want to stay clean and don't say God. And you can stay clean without saying God. But that peace and freedom that you're truly looking for, that serenity that we talked about, less, they won't talk about that much, that serene part that we don't really talk about around here, to get true serenity, only God can give it to you. You can talk to your sponsor, you can do all of them, only God can give you that true serenity. And dig, man. I'm not trying to say that you can hide behind this same religion. You can use all the justification you want to use. But only God can give you the peace that you're looking for. And I want to thank y'all for believing in the committee to come to a convention like this. Because we believe we come. Because we know we're going to get fed this weekend. We come, in spite of. And I'm so happy to be with some new friends of mine, seeing the ocean for the first time. And riding through the highways. I want to thank God for safe speed, because last weekend we rode back from Mobile through a storm. through a hailstorm, tornado, water, man, and boy, it was scary. I asked myself then, is my recovery in check? you think you might not make it? I said, oh, God, is everything okay in my recovery? To myself, not to them. Is everything okay, God, me and you? And I passed with that.
Thank you to Mitzi.